Grab your copy of God's Word. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. This, of course, is our text for the whole summer. Galatians chapter 5. You know, there are some things in life that you need, but you just don't want. Some things you need, but you just don't want. Like that trip to the dentist. You need it, you just don't want it. Or like when you go and see the doctor, right? I got to give you a shot. You need it, but you just don't want it. Or for the kids here in the room, when mom puts those vegetables on your plate, even some of the teenagers I know, right? You need it, but you just don't want it. Or like going to the mechanic. Oh my goodness. Quentin loves to see me coming, right? Go down to the mechanic to fix that vehicle again. I need it, but I just don't want it. Or of course, we think back to our childhood, that whooping that you earned, and you did earn it. You need it, but you just don't want it. And I say that today's fruit of the Spirit falls into this category. Everybody loves joy and love and peace, right? Everybody wants that. You need that and you want that. But today, we're talking about the fruit of patience. And when it comes to patience, you need it, but you just don't want it. It's like mixing tomatoes in with your apples and peaches and grapes. Man, all them other things are sweet, and they come together to delight your mouth and tongue. But boy, those tomatoes, that's so different. That's more like a vegetable, isn't it? You need it, but you just don't want it. Somebody once prayed, Lord, give me patience, but just hurry up with it. You know, as far as it goes, I thought that was funny when I read that. Give me patience, but just hurry up, Lord. Patience is tough to come by in our, what you might call a microwave world. It's a fruit of the Spirit that God, nevertheless, intends to grow in us and on us, even in 2026. And here's today's truth I want to just push on to you as we think about Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is patience, right there. So there it is. It's right in the Bible. This is something God intends for us. Today's truth is this. Patience is more than waiting longer, but also trusting God deeper while you wait. Thinking back on the songs we just sang, did you feel that thread going through there as Pastor Mark and I coordinated? That's a beautiful way of seeing how, yes, we wait, but it's trusting God deeper while we wait. That's the key to patience, all right? God, I trust you as I wait. You know, the difference between just waiting and patience, it could be illustrated well thinking about the person in the airport that just found out that they have a delay. And you have two different people who approach it two different ways. Picture two travelers sitting at the same gate. Both have just learned their flight's been delayed 3 hours. And if you've ever had that happen to you, it's infuriating. The first traveler spends the entire time frustrated. Is this you? Pacing the terminal, repeatedly checking departure boards, complaining to anybody that'll listen, growing increasingly agitated. Technically, that man's waiting, but he's not patient. Now picture the second traveler in the exact same 3 hour span. He doesn't enjoy the delay, but he doesn't spend his time frustrated and complaining. No, he trusts the airline knows more about the situation going on than he does. I mean, perhaps there's a storm ahead or a mechanical issue, right? Maybe a danger that he can't see. And because he trusts the people in charge and because he trusts the Lord, he just waits differently. The circumstances are the same, but his trust changes his posture. So the measure of patience is not found in the clock, but in your trust. So the question is not merely, how long have I been waiting? And for some of you, whatever it is you're waiting on, you've been waiting a long time. The real question is, how deeply am I trusting God while I wait? Patience is more than waiting longer, but also trusting God deeper while you wait. And to help us think this fruit through, like all the other fruit, I'm going to ask and answer six questions. Remember, we're trying to sort of build for you a framework, if you will, a grid with all of the fruit so that you can kind of look back and see how they all come together and sort of create that whole basket of fruit that the Spirit desires to produce in you and on you. So let's start by defining what patience is. What is patience biblically? Well, here's my biblical definition of patience. It's the capacity to steadfastly bear the burdens of inconveniences, difficulties, and trials without complaining, while waiting on and trusting in the providence of God. Let me say that again. Patience is the capacity to steadfastly bear the burdens of inconveniences and difficulties and trials without complaining, while waiting on and trusting in the providence of God. So three parts to that definition. And all three of them are found in James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Look at that with me. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Feel free to just flip over there with me to James. It'll be more of a foundational text for us here for the next few minutes. James 5, 7 through 11. The Holy Spirit, through Elder James here, writes to us, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." So all three of those parts here in that definition are found right here in this text. First, the first part, the capacity to steadfastly bear the burdens of inconveniences, difficulties, and trials. Well, first right here in the text is the call to be patient itself, isn't it? Verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Now the application here is directly waiting on the second coming of Jesus. But the calling to be patient fits every scenario in our life. We're called to be patient. Verse 7 and 8, see how the farmer waits, the example here, right, for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Let's skip down to verse 10 and 11. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider these blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job. And so the text here calls us to steadfastly bear these burdens, right? But secondly, the second part of that definition is to do so without complaining. Now that's the tough part, right? It's one thing to go through it. It's another thing to not complain. But the text clearly calls us. Look at verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers. That means the Lord also. Don't grumble against one another, and don't grumble against the Lord, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And then finally, we see that to steadfastly bear the burdens that we're talking about here without complaining, then that last part of the definition is important. While waiting on and trusting in the providence of God. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 11, you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So all three parts of that definition are found right here in this text. But let's dig in a little more, get practical so we understand exactly what we're talking about here, okay? All right, the first part of the definition, the capacity to steadfastly bear the burdens of inconveniences, difficulties, and trials. Now, life is full of those, right? Inconveniences, difficulties, and trials. There are inconveniences like traffic jam when you're already late, right? That's, oh my gosh, that's an inconvenience. Only one checkout line open at Walmart? Are you kidding me? There are 1,000 people coming through that store, yet only one checkout line? Super slow phone data. Oh my goodness. You talk about driving you crazy, right? You go traveling somewhere. I mean, we were at the conference this week there in the Orange County Conference Center. 20,000 people in a few square acres right there. And it was like you could do nothing. Just spin, spin, spin. You know, it happens right here at West Lauderdale Middle School in the car rider line as well, right? Oh, my goodness. Man, it's just, it's nuts, all right? Being on hold again with customer service. that child, maybe you have one of these. I have one of these. I'm not going to say their name. That takes forever to get ready. Oh, my, you're out in the car like honking the horn. Come on, right? The coworker who's always inefficient or that restaurant that's taking forever to order your food. Your order wasn't hard. What's taking so long? So those are inconveniences, right? But there are also difficulties in life, things that are just hard. Things like raising children, caring for aging parents, that tough season of marriage, the financial pressure that you feel as the prices go up faster than your raise does. Maybe it's a demanding workplace or recovering from surgery, right? I mean, that's one of those difficulties. Or maybe it's that difficult neighbor. Praise God, I've got two good neighbors, one on each side. But some of you have incredibly difficult neighbors. These are more than inconveniences, right? They're ongoing things that are in your face every day, right? They're difficult, they're hard. But then there's also burdens, the burdens of trials. The burden of trials, which I would kind of define like we're kind of amping it up here, inconveniences, difficulties, and then we get to trials. Trials are moments of extreme hardship. These sorts of things that hit our life and they shake us to our core, right? Like serious illnesses or chronic pain, the death of a loved one or infertility, unemployment, especially when you didn't plan for it, right? You got the pink slip. Divorce, being betrayed by a friend, maybe a child walking away from Christ or maybe you being persecuted for your faith in Christ or getting hit by a tornado, right? That's something that this church knows. Well, all of these are extreme hardships. So whether it's inconveniences, difficulties, or trials, patience is the capacity to steadfastly bear these burdens, both big and small. So patience is not the absence of burdens. No. It's actually carrying those burdens. That's where patience is. And that's where we're grown. For instance, Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, not only that, but we rejoice, listen to this, in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance and patience, they go hand in hand here. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Patience and endurance, they go hand in hand. It's just a way to describe patience. The word endurance, you steadfastly bear whatever burden you're carrying. But secondly, you do it without complaining. Listen to what it says in James chapter 1, 2 through 4. It says, count it all joy. Let me say that again. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. There's that word again. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Or how about Colossians 1, 10 through 12? Colossians 1, 10 through 12. So as to walk, the Bible says, in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened, listen to this, with all power according to his glorious might, listen, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So, beloved, there is to be joy and thanksgiving even while you wait. Amen? Hey, I didn't say it was easy to do. I just said it's what he's called us to. And then finally, we to do this, right? We do this finally by the last part of the definition. While waiting on and trusting in the providence of God. Now, that may not be a word that you use very often. You should. It's a great word. It's a great word. Providence is the sovereign outworking of God's plan. It's God's timing, which is always perfect. It's like the old spiritual that I heard sing at the church that I visited one time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he might not be there when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I mean, that's waiting on and trusting in the providence of God. And the Bible calls us to that all over the place. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So it's courageous waiting. Patience, you could define it as that. Courageous waiting. Or how about Psalm 37:7? Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's waiting in his timing. Lamentations 3:25-26. Says the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So patience is rooted in confidence in God's working. And then I think finally of Hebrews 10:32-39. Here the author writes, but recall the former days when you were enlightened. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings. In other words, you were patient. Being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. And sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison. And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Since you knew, listen to this, that you yourselves had a better possession and abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what's promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. I love that quote there. You have need of endurance. Ben Simpson has need of endurance. Patience is faith pushing forward in preservation and perseverance. So, it's the capacity to steadfastly bear the burdens of inconveniences, difficulties, and trials without complaining, while waiting on and trusting in the providence of God. I think that's a good biblical definition. But second, how does the world distort this? How does the world misunderstand patience? And there are several I could point you to, but let me just hit you with two today. Probably the biggest way that the world distorts or misunderstands patience is kind of like treating it like a personality trait. The world says, you know, some people are patient, but I ain't. That's not how I'm wired, you'll hear people say, right? Patience, it's just not one of my gifts. And the implication from the world is that it's something you're either born with or without. Some people are naturally calm and easygoing and unhurried, right? And that's okay. But there are others who are just naturally intense. They're driven. They're easily frustrated, right? They're the red personalities. And people say, well, that's okay too. And so the world concludes that patience is simply a matter of personality, of temperament. But that's not what the Bible teaches, is it, church? No, that's not God's expectation, right? The Bible doesn't list patience as a gift of the Spirit. No, it lists it as a fruit of the Spirit. And that means that it's something that every single one of us, including me, should bear in our lives. It should grow in us and on us. Now, there certainly are people amongst us who are more patient than others, right? You're just naturally that way. But nobody in this room has a get out of patience free card. Every single one of us are called to do that. So don't get that twisted. The second way I would point you to for how the world distorts and misunderstands patience is that the world equates patience with passivity and weakness. Passivity and weakness. You know, the world acts like patience means that you do nothing. But Scripture reveals that patience is actually faithfully obeying while trusting God for the results, right? There is action. In James 5, the farmer's not sitting on the porch. No, he's plowing and planting. He's cultivating. He's watering. He's fertilizing. He's all of those things working. While God acts along with him. So patience is not inactivity. It's faithful activity without anxiousness. And it's not passivity or weakness either, right? The world says if you're patient, man, people are going to walk all over you. I mean, you better get while the getting's good. You better grab it now. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Get it now. Don't wait. We find that pushed in every way, particularly the senses that God's given our bodies, right? Don't wait to feel that. Don't wait to taste that. Don't wait to touch that. Do it now while you have the chance, because you may miss out. But God says, wait. Wait for the Lord. Now, again, I said earlier, it is hard for our generation because we are so conditioned for instant stuff, right? I mean, instant downloads. I mean, we have that beautiful fiber internet. These young folks don't know what it is to dial AOL and hear it do that weird noise to get online, right? It takes 2 days to download something. We get it instantly, right? Gigabyte speed. And even then, sometimes we're going, man, this thing, I wish it would hurry up, you know? We get next day delivery, don't we? Just tell Amazon, you want it the next day. You may have to pay a little more, but not really if you've got Amazon Prime. Immediate answers. Just Google it. Man, used to, my granny'd have to call half the family to get the answer. You know what I'm saying? It'd take her all day. She's going to find the answer, right? But there was no internet back in those days, right? Or quick success. That's one of the greatest things that sometimes our young people in general, not just young people today, but anybody who's coming up young, they want immediately what their parents had. They want immediately what their heroes have without realizing the process that it took to get there, the years and the sacrifice. They want quick success. Yet God's work is often slow, isn't it? Crops, they grow slowly. I left on Sunday expecting that when I got back, I'd have squash everywhere. They ain't there yet, all right? Children, they mature slowly. Disciples are formed slowly. Churches move and change slowly. Sanctification, it happens slowly. And here's what patience does. Patience accepts God's grace in those moments and leans into God's strength. And so, praise God for truth. The world distorts all these things, but God's told us what is really real and what's truly true. And what we should strive for is what he has called us to, which is to wait, to be patient. Now, these are some of the ways the world distorts and misunderstands patience, but God has given us a clear example in Jesus Christ. So let's move to our next question here today. How did Jesus perfectly demonstrate patience? Think of all the ways that Jesus steadfastly bore the burdens of inconveniences, difficulties, and trials without complaining while waiting on and trusting in the providence of his Father. I mean, think about all the needy crowds, always pushing for more, always thinking of themselves and nobody else. Yet what did Jesus do? He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Think of how slow and fickle the disciples were. I mean, you just see Jesus, you know, kind of pushing back a migraine sometimes, right? He's got that hand right there just kind of pushing, right? Are you so slow you still don't get it, he said to them? Yet he continued teaching faithfully, didn't he? How many times did they make bonehead comments or decisions? I mean, Peter rebuked Jesus? What? James and John wanting to call down fire on the Samaritans? The disciples arguing about who's the greatest? James and John jockeying for position, put me at your right and him at your left? Think about Philip in that moment asking Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus, with incredible, perfect patience, says, oh my goodness, Philip, I've been with you so long. How could you say, show us the Father? I've shown you for 3 years. Peter denying Jesus. Yet Jesus showed great patience toward them all. He carried them forward. He commissioned them as apostles. Think about how much patience it took to fool with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, man. Always doubting. Always accusing. Always trying to trip him up and trap him. Yet, he had patience with them. But I suppose the greatest demonstration of Jesus' perfect patience came in his passion, in his suffering. On the road to Calvary, to his crucifixion, when Judas betrayed him and the soldiers arrested him, he was patient. When the Sanhedrin accused him and they falsely convicted him and abused him, he was patient. When Herod mocked him and Pilate rebuffed him, he was patient. When the crowd chose Barabbas for release over him, he was patient. As the Roman soldiers beat him and mocked him and devalued him, he was patient. As he carried his cross through the streets of Jerusalem to Calvary, he was patient. And beloved, as he died on the cross, suffering as an innocent sacrificial lamb, he was patient. The Bible says he never complained, like a lamb led to slaughter. As the prophet Isaiah said, he opened not his mouth to protest. He only opened it to bless. Remember, he cried out on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What patience. Because we know he told Peter there in the garden before he was arrested. Peter pulled out a sword. He was already slicing off an ear of one of the guards. And Jesus told him, put your sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. And then he said this, do you think I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? Patience. And beloved, that fact remained all throughout the crucifixion, right? Even there on the cross, he could have called down a whole garrison of angels, but only one angel would have been enough to be done, to be released, to be relieved. But with patience, he endured. He steadfastly bore the burdens of inconveniences, difficulties, and trials without complaining, while waiting on and trusting in the providence of his Father. What perfect patience from our perfect example in Christ Jesus. And it's to his measure that you and I are called to grow up into, to conform to. So we see what it looked like in the life of Jesus, but what does it look like in our life? What does patience look like in everyday life? That's number four for us today. What does patience look like in everyday life? We just want to be just real practical here. And you may not be able to write all these down, but I hope that as you go through there, there's going to be 1, 2, 10 that resonate with you. Because I need to grow in patience. And I have to believe I'm not the only one, right? In relationships, here's what patience looks like. Listening without interrupting. Bearing a friend's weaknesses instead of dropping them as a friend. Responding gently when somebody's rude. Giving people time to grow and mature. Continuing to love that difficult family member, right? It's knowing that God's been patient with me. I should be patient with them. How about in marriage? Let's be honest. Our spouses are often the ones we are least patient with. It looks like waiting for your spouse to process a decision when they're going slower than you are. Like you've already arrived. I think we should do this. Yet he or she is like, come on, make up your mind. But patience waits. Patience is letting that minor irritation go instead of letting it become a major conflict. Patience is being willing to repeat that encouragement when your spouse won't receive it. You've told them, honey, you're beautiful. Honey, you're smart. Honey, you're this. Honey, you're that. Yet it's like they don't hear it. They won't hear it. But you continue in patience. It looks like adjusting your expectations when new seasons of life come in, that new baby, or that new job, that new stress, or maybe that new illness. It's trusting God in those areas where your spouse still needs to grow. And not pressure or nag or manipulate them into change. God's not finished with them yet, and neither should we be. In parenting, don't get me started. Oh my goodness, right? Parenting, praise God for kids, but they are like the crucible of patience in our lives, right? It's correcting that child again. You've already told them. You tell them again, you correct them again, and you don't lose your temper and blow up. Teaching that same lesson 100th time, right? It's trusting God with that prodigal child. And some of you have prodigal children here. It's remaining faithful in that child's life, even into adulthood, when you don't see the fruit that you know should be there. You don't see the fruit that used to be there, yet you endure, you're patient with them. In the workplace, it's remaining gracious to that coworker that, oh my goodness, you can't stand. It's doing work even though you're not recognized. It's not cutting corners when progress is slow. It's waiting for opportunities rather than trying to manipulate your promotion. I'm just going to be faithful where God has placed me. How about in church? Do we need patience with one another in church? Right? In church, it looks like bearing with people who have different preferences and different personalities and different maturity levels than you. It's giving church leaders grace when the decision they make and are leading in is not how you would have done it, yet it's not sin. It's continuing to serve faithfully even when nobody seems to appreciate you in church. It's walking with that brother and sister who is, man, they are on the struggle bus, and they're on the struggle bus again. It's trusting God and his timing to see the change and the growth in your church. really it comes down to I want to treat people how I want to be treated when it comes, not just church, but anywhere in life. How about in suffering? It's enduring that chronic pain without bitterness, trusting God during that difficult diagnosis. It's walking through grief without abandoning faith. It's continuing to pray when God is not answering. And it's believing God's purposes are good, even when you can't see them. All of these things, I trust God to do what's best and what's right. So, beloved, what area of your life needs increased patience? We hit several there. Especially given the context, right? This supersonic microwave world. It fights everything against patience. But God says we should have that fruit. And so question five comes into our life. Where in my life is patience missing or meager? It should be there. And it shouldn't just be there. It should be abundant. Where is it? You got to do that diagnosis. You and God. God, show me who I need to grow in patience with. Show me where I need to grow in patience. And then finally, just to help us a little bit, how can the Spirit grow more patience in my life? Let me hit you with four really quickly here. I've said this one every message so far. The first way you grow in the fruit of patience is to be filled with the Spirit. We got to say that every time because these are fruit of the Spirit. Patience, true patience, is not something you just produce by yourself. It flows from God through us. So be filled with the Spirit. But secondly, this is really crucial. How do you grow in patience? Man, remember how patient God has been with you, right? I just said a moment ago, treat others how you want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others how you've been treated. God has endured your failures. He's forgiven your sins. He continues to work on us, yet he's never abandoned us. As he's been to all of us in the room here, may we be unto others. I love being treated patiently. Therefore, I must treat others with patience. Third, deepen your trust in God and his providence. There's that P word again, providence. Trust in God and his providence. You see, at its core, impatience is saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. God, you're not moving fast enough. I mean, are you even there? But patience grows when confidence in God and his wisdom grows. He knows what's best. His timing, beloved, is impeccable. He's not delayed. He and his purposes, the Bible tells us, is he's working all things together for his glory and for the good of those who are his people, right? So he's not slow. He's not slacking. He's not ambivalent. The book of Romans says, oh, the depth, the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Beloved, that means you can trust God. As you wait on God, that's patience. And then finally, just something real practical. You can do this today. You don't even have to grow in this. You could do it today. Replace grumbling with gratitude. Replace grumbling with gratitude. Philippians 2 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be poured, or that I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Just like you change your shirt or you change your shoes today, whenever you are tempted to grumble, stop, take it off, and put on gratitude. God, thank you. God, praise you. God, there is joy. We are waiting. That makes our experience different. We know that when we do that, when we put off grumbling and put on gratitude, we know that the waiting's not arbitrary. It's not because God is incompetent. It's because he has a purpose. It's because he's working. And in due time, you're going to be blessed beyond what you can see right now. So, what are you waiting for this morning? What's trying your patience? You know, one of the great examples from church history of patience comes from George Mueller. He gets used a lot as an example, and that's because he was a great man of God. 19th century evangelist, man who cared for over 10,000 orphans in England during his lifetime. But it was the conversion of his friend, the salvation of his friend that he was burdened for, that he was waiting for. He had shared Jesus with this guy. He had prayed for his salvation. 5 years passed, no conversion. 10 years passed, no conversion. 20 years passed, still nothing. 30 years, 40 years. Most people would have quit, right? Not Mueller. He believed that God was not only able to save this man, but indeed he would. And he continued to faithfully witness and pray for him for 50-some years. And near the end of George's life, somebody asked him if he thought, man, will that guy ever come to Christ, George? And here's what Mueller replied. He said, do you think God would have kept me praying for him all these years if he did not intend to save him? And after 50 years of prayer, George Mueller died. The man was still unconverted. But shortly after that funeral, that friend finally trusted Christ as Savior. Beloved, for more than half a century, Mueller waited patiently. He never saw the answer with his own eyes, did he? Yet God was working the entire time. Beloved, we have to remember that all parts of life is on God's timetable. Patience is not merely waiting longer, but trusting God deeper while you wait. Again, I don't know what you're waiting for or what's trying your patience, but I want to encourage you. God's working, amen? God is working, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up, the Bible says in Galatians 6. He might not be there when we want him, but he will be there right on time. Now look, I know it's a dangerous thing to pray for patience. But may God grant us patience. Here's my final prayer. May I not wait to seek the fruit of patience growing in me and on me.